the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. What an enigmatic statement. It's part of all these I am statements that Jesus offers in this particular gospel, John's gospel. I am the light. I am the vine. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. What might this mean? What is Jesus trying to say about what a shepherd is or what a good shepherd might be? Often in John's gospel, it's best perceived when you look in the light of what precedes a passage. And so I think it's important for us to go back one chapter to the chapter, the ninth chapter of John's gospel, the chapter just before our chapter of the Good Shepherd today. Now, it's in chapter 9 that we find the story of Jesus healing the man who has been blind since birth. This happens on a Sabbath day. Jesus and the disciples are walking, and they walk past this man who has been born blind. And the disciples wonder with Jesus. They'd obviously been wondering amongst themselves, but they asked Jesus, "So, who is it that sinned? Was it this man or his parents?" Right? The question for them is not whether sin occurred, but whose responsibility is it? Replying that neither this man nor his parents had sinned, what Jesus does next is remarkable, especially on the Sabbath. He scoops up some dirt and spits on it to make a mud, which he wipes across the eyes of the man born blind. He then has him go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And unbelievably, well, the first unbelievable part is that this man allows Jesus to make some mud and spread it on his eyes. That is a remarkable act of faith. But then he goes and washes, and he is healed. He comes back able to see. Now, this healing confounds all those who've known him, because they've known him as this man who was born blind. And so they wonder, how could this have happened? And interestingly, by whose authority does this happen? Soon the religious authorities are on the scene, and they begin to question this man who had been born blind. And then, since they don't get the answer that they were hoping for, they begin to question his parents, right? And his parents, I think, do a good turn of parenting here, and they say, "We don't know. Go ask him." And so the religious authorities do that. They come and they question this man who had been born blind a second time. And when this man keeps repeating that he had been healed by Jesus, that Jesus had been able to make him see, the Pharisees become enraged. They cannot believe that this man who had been born blind, someone supposedly born in sin, could be made whole. And in their anger, they drive this man out, and so it becomes a cruel and a painful irony, right? That this man who had been born blind had been forced to the outside, forced to the edges of communal life, right? He has just been healed. He's just been made whole. He's just been gathered in. And just when this happens, he is once again forced, cast aside. What's interesting is that for the entirety of this interplay in chapter 9, we don't hear from Jesus. During the questioning by the Pharisees, his name is spoken, but he himself is not present. It's when the blind man has been cast out this second time that Jesus appears. Listen. It's upon hearing that this man who had been healed had been driven out, it is then that Jesus re-enters the scene. But why? Well, it seems to search this man out, to find him, and to bring him again into the fold. And that is when we come to the 10th chapter. I am the Good Shepherd. You see, before we hear about who this Good Shepherd is, we see what this Good Shepherd does. The Good Shepherd abides. The Good Shepherd remains. The Good Shepherd does not leave a sheep in trouble. At this point, I'd like to turn our attention to this icon of the Good Shepherd. As you look at this icon, what are you aware of? The wolf is on this side, the sheep is on that side, or are on that side. The tree. With still water. The green pastures. He's carrying a sheep. Doesn't feel like he needs to pay attention to the other sheep. He's looking in a different place. Not afraid of the wolf. Where is your gaze met? This icon of the Good Shepherd, it turns out, was not as straightforward as you might think it would be in creation. At least, it wasn't as straightforward as I thought it at first it would be. At the start, now this, the beginnings of this started about 5 years ago, and the real creation was several years ago. We thought we were looking for two things. One, we were looking for this icon to be in a cruciform shape, like this. And the other is that we wanted this icon to be of Christ the Good Shepherd. But the challenge that we found is this. Icons of the Good Shepherd, as varied as they are all in the traditional rectangular format. And all the icons that are in a cruciform shape, well, they all depict what you might expect, Jesus' crucifixion. And so for a couple of years, we plodded along, hoping that we could find a way to tell this part of the Jesus story in this particular way. We talked with artists, we researched icons, and eventually our prayers led us to the Reverend Paul Fromberg, who is an iconographer, an Episcopal priest, and the rector of St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. And after spending some time in this space and a few conversations, rather than seeing what hadn't been done before, Paul began to imagine what story could be told as he began to work on this design of Christ the Good Shepherd. And he began with the background. And in the tradition of godly play, he used imagery from Psalm 23. It was important for those who encounter this icon. It was important for all of us to know that the Good Shepherd leads alongside these waters, these somewhat still waters, and leads into the deep green pastures. Right? For sheep, this is essential. die. Without clear water, without sufficient grass, they will die. And for us, though our medium may be different, the same sense remains that sustenance and even abundance is what the Good Shepherd leads us to. And so for you this morning, what is that cool, clear water? Where do you find that deep green grass? For even when sheep wander off on their own and are unable to find what they need, the Good Shepherd abides. Paul then wove into this the story of John chapter 10. Good Shepherd who remains with the sheep. Now, the animals here, they may look like goats, but I recently learned that actually it's in the ears that you can tell whether it is a sheep or a goat. And so these sheep are modeled after sheep native to Palestine, and they have been made to lie down in the green pasture. But they're being walked. Being watched, because even as they rest, the wolf, who is the one being in this icon whose gaze is fixed, even as the sheep rest, the wolf waits. Now, this is actually not common to see in iconography, at least of this icon, which I suppose should not be surprising. For as comfortable as we are to show the deep green grass and the sheep at rest, how often do we want to be reminded of the wolf on the prowl? And yet, friends, it's my sense that this icon would lose some of its truth were the wolf absent. For as much as we wish that this world were different, we are fooling ourselves if we ignore that which snatches and scatters. So as you look at this scene, I wonder, what are the wolves in your life? The Good Shepherd abides. Because even if the ordinary shepherd has fled the scene, these sheep are not left alone. The fold is never left alone, even in the shadow of the valley of death. The Good Shepherd abides, stands in between the wolf and the sheep, prepared to lay down his life if needed. And beginning as early as the 3rd century, right, in the catacombs of Rome, this is the first image that we find of Christ. In the frescoes and then later in the mosaics, it is of Jesus depicted as a shepherd carrying a sheep or a lamb, returning this lost one back to the fold. In this icon, Jesus is bearing a lamb across his shoulders, separating the wolf from the sheep, physically standing, remaining, abiding, laying down his life in the stead of those he loves. Right? And this was powerful for these early Christians in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the changes and chances of life facing state-sponsored terrorism. These early Christians and Christians ever since turn to this image to carry them. For the Good Shepherd abides in us. And perhaps in the end, this is why having this icon of the Good Shepherd in the shape of the cross actually fits. Because like the cross, it too gives us a glimpse. It gives us a glimpse into the sacrificial love that is the very heartbeat of this world. laying down one's life, giving of one's self in truth and in action, leading as we have been led. For the Good Shepherd abides. And the Good Shepherd abides in us. And so as we at All Souls Parish begin our life with this icon of the Good Shepherd, please pray with me. Almighty God, your Son Jesus showed us your eternal glory in the form of our own human flesh. We give you thanks for the artists' learning and skill that have created this icon of Christ the Good Shepherd. Grant that as we look upon it, our hearts may be drawn towards those things which the eye of faith alone can see. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.